Bill Kwong heads on the other committee as well. Do we have a full contingent?
Yes, I'll let you go.
No, that's good, that's good. And then with the AS... Yes, that's right. You've got both banks of artillery on the firing line. Good. Now, and then we have the ANC, and I think we will have a full contingent here in the morning early anyway. Thank you. Right, members, let's just start off the committee. Thank you very much for coming here, and also big welcome again to the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Honourable Elizabeth Tebete, who has brought, as I say, it's not the full contingent of SAWIN of what they have. I've certainly seen them in operation, part of it, but certainly some of the women with their enterprises and crafts are outside. And I would hope that all members here, and indeed those who hear me in the House today and in Parliament in their various offices and corridors, will take the opportunity to come down here and see what it is that women are getting involved in, because there is no way we can work on 50% of the population as a worker, labour force, entrepreneurs. We do need all members of our country actively involved. We focused on the youth, very, very important. But there's also a need to focus on women, because after all, women, you know, they so often women head up households and are the sole breadwinners. And we don't want to impoverish the country further by not taking steps to mainstream women in the economy. So there's a need for us to take very seriously working together. That's very, very important. Having said that, now I'm not a board member of SAWIN at all. So for those who may have got that impression. Now we have got the apologies here. And they are, if I can just get it, the Honourable Dr. Wilmot James, Party Business and Karting, the Honourable Advocate Alberts, Party Business, of course we mean political party, the Honourable Sue van der Merwe, also National Party Business. So we do accept those apologies from everyone. Yes, Honourable Hadebe, our whip.
Chairperson, I want to make a correction here. Honourable Sue van der Merwe was not out on a National Party Business, because I think National Party was debunked.
Yes, yes, one has to. The whole thing of semantics, you know. She's here on party business. Let's leave it like that. I think we all know what we're talking about then, all right? And let's look at what we have here. We've got some very, you know, Apex cooperatives, chartered accountants. What is it? Still Friday. Right. Didn't think it was such a long agenda. We have the apologies, we have the adoption, we have SAWIN. The focus is on SAWIN here today. All right. So please, can we propose the adoption? Is there anything urgent we want to add? Or just propose the adoption? Thank you. Honourable Khadebe proposes, seconded by Honourable Khadebe Kwabasa. Right, okay. And what we've got now is the briefings on the status. Status is a very encompassing word which enables us to take broader account of the South African Woman Entrepreneurs Network and also on ISIFunda Women's Fund. And we're going to hand over to the Deputy Minister to lead the team in sharing this position with the committee. So it's over to yourself, Honourable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as I think there are also, I'm not sure whether media or guests, the DTI officials led by the DDG, of course, of Empowerment Enterprise Development Division, Mr. Zibode. He's sitting just next to me. This is a handsome young fellow, but I understand he's taken. He's not available, even if he's so handsome and well-dressed. He's just a committed public servant. And then you have then the acting CEO of Sawen and the chairperson of the board, Gail Downing and Ruth Masakwan. And then I think for me, it's just to do the broad overview. The DDG will go into some of the issues. I think I take this opportunity to thank the Portfolio Committee for their request or to get the briefing in terms of what the department is doing in terms of women economic empowerment and Sawen in that regard, as well as ISIVAN Women's Fund. But I would start maybe by saying, as you know, you've got two deputy ministers, and I deal mostly. People call it the second economy issues because we deal more with small business, cooperatives, gender, women empowerment. Hence, then, the question of Sawen and ISIVAN falls under what I work with. Hence, then, I'm here present today. You know, you've got two deputy ministers, most at DTI. The other one deals with the international trade and industrial policy and all that. But overall, Dr. Davis is our minister, and he's minister of everything. Even gender, women issues, it is under him. We just work with him then to make sure that he can execute his mandate, outcome four, and be able then to do this work. And I must say that it has been a privilege to work with him, first as two deputies, and now he is the minister. I'm again the deputy minister under his leadership, and we work very well, and we hope that we'll be able to deal with lots of challenges ahead in terms of job creation, economic empowerment, etc. In fact, if you look at the question of an empowerment enterprise development division, it talks more to the mandate that I'm given, as I indicated, has been working closely with DDG Zikote and the chief directors that are under him. Unfortunately, we don't have the chief director for gender, women empowerment. That position is still being, the DDG are working on getting the replacement. The person was transferred to another division, TISA. Bongile Titu, who was the chief director. Now that post is vacant, and I'm sure we'll be able to fill it soon, DDG. Yes. So in that regard, he is the one that is responsible in terms of the issues that pertain to gender women empowerment unit. In fact, we've got four broad initiatives to deal with the women empowerment programs or entrepreneurs, or to assist those who want to start businesses, etc. It's SAWEN, the South African Women Entrepreneurs Network, which is running from the national office with only three offices that are existing. Is the head office, which where the Gauteng province do participate from the head office, Neki. And then we've got the Western Cape, where we've got offices, and also KZN in Pietermaritzburg. Well, with the meager resources we have, we would have liked, I think, to have offices everywhere in the nine provinces. But because of budgetary constraints, we are not. Because we believe there's a great need, I mean, to make sure that we can deal with the question of women empowerment in a broader sense, but also making sure that we give the support that is necessary for lots of women to access the DTI through these initiatives. The four, as I said, today is only the Sawen and Isifande, but we've got also the Technology for Women in Business, which is a good program that has been going from 1996, if I'm not wrong. And it is really, I think, a lot of technology used by some of these women. Some of them, they are outside here from Sawen exhibiting. And also the Bavumile Women's Institute, which is trying to make sure that the products that these women are doing can get, you know, to be enhanced, and to make sure that they sell products that we are sure of, that they are through the SABS type standard, so that they are not selling products that we have problems with, because some of them actually export, I mean, to other countries. So it is quite a challenging section, because, as I said, of the budget that we receive, we don't really do everything that we would have liked to. But with the budget that is allocated, we are able then to make sure. So we would really not plead, but to get support from the portfolio committee. I'm sure that we should be given much more. But DTI is huge. I mean, everything else needs much more. You look, cooperatives, you need much more. We're dealing with the hearings now. I was here Tuesday, listen to the issues. Lots, lots more that you must do. Everything that you work with needs more. And in that regard, I think there's been quite good work done within the Gender Women Empowerment Unit, is where these programs, these initiatives then are housed, then you develop POA, and then you are able then to make sure that you can have women participating at this level. I think I won't then go to individual of the, I think they are going to do presentations, and the DG will go more into, the DDG, not DG. He'll soon be DG, I'm sure. DDG, as of now, he's still Deputy Director General. We are under Lionel October as DG. It was just a slip of a tongue. But I really think that with the report, we'll be able to have a way forward, and then also get some suggestions from members and to say how can we beef up this. The last time this presentation was made, I think it was around 2008, when it was still with the detailed briefing of where the gender unit started, and then with the programs of Sawen in detail, little bit in 2009. At that time, but at least the deeper briefings were done around 2008 with all these entities. And after that, it was quite clear that it is not enough what we're doing at the time. But from there, we tried then to add a little bit from where we were then. And I hope from now that there's something that is there. But I think we can still do more, DDG, in terms of our capacity and all the issues that we can do as DTI now, dealing with these issues that are women-specific empowerment programs. Because ideally, women don't have, like the youth, I mean, if you look at the youth, they've got a specific NYDA agency that is fully fledged, I mean, to make sure that they look at the aspirations, needs of our youth. But women is all these initiatives that are then plugged into the DDG's division, and then really speaking, going forward, for us, we believe that we should be looking more. We are dealing with the strategic framework. I'm sure at one stage we will have to come back to you. It was at the time, 2006, presented here at the portfolio committee then, but we believe that now it has been reviewed, amended, so we'll be able to come. That is giving the whole perspective in terms of gender with women strategy at the DTI and what we are proposing as a way forward to deal with a lot of issues, which in them then we are proposing the question of the Women's Empowerment Agency, so that you can have a dedicated body. As of now, it's piggybacking with the mega budget that I mean, Sawen is run with what? It was 7 million at one stage. Now I understand it's around 4 or 5 million. I mean, really speaking, you can't even have a full-time CEO or CFO and all that. It's really not taking the question of the women empowerment in a more aggressive way. So I believe that after that strategy, after it is discussed with ourselves, which can be later this year, we'll be able, I'm sure, to map out the way forward. But thanks for the support and for the activities that you normally attend, especially the chair. We invite her to some of our women's meeting trip and all that, and she does attend, and as well as the Techno Girls and others. And we really thank you for your leadership, and hope that many more members will join some programs, because we've got quite exciting programs that we run. And if you can be part of us, we'll be very happy. I think from the 7 to 9, we'll be having the Techno Girls for Gauteng Province. We're in Free State in April. Honorable Khadere, we had about 100 learners, grade 10, 11, 12. It came from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because it's where we try to make sure that we can inculcate a business sense in them while they are still young. As they go through their matric and tertiary, they've already started thinking. And as we normally introduce them at the budget vote, those are the winners that believe they came with a very good proposals on business plans, on what we can do. Because in them, you've got quite a lot of innovative, I mean, mind-boggling ideas that these kids just need to be, you know, supported a little bit, and then they can go somewhere. In that, we are trying to look at the question of unemployment and creating more entrepreneurs. Because to us, we should not be really having more job seekers. We must be creating more entrepreneurs who come with sharp ideas. And those girls are really doing a good job, which Techno Girl is a sub-program of TWIP, where we believe that you have to do this on an ongoing basis. So Honorable Mabasa from Joburg and Abuslaw, I'm sure, can attend that one if they're available, and other members. And the chairperson, of course, she comes from Gauteng. We'll give you the details. So those are the, you know, some of the initiatives that we try and address broadly the question of gender, women empowerment. But let me hand over to the DDG. Thanks, Chair.
Minister, just before that, I suppose one was so excited to kind of see Sawin here at Parliament after such a long time. One forgot about certain formalities, and I've only just, you know, when you pointed to the DDG, realised, of course, now Mr. Sipho Sikodu was here with us again. He's been here with us with the co-ops as well, as you know. But not only that, you've introduced us to Ms. Gail Downing, the chairperson of the board, and Ms. Ruth Masakwani, the acting chief executive officer. Is that right there? Yes. And also other members that when they do comment, I'm sure, Honourable Deputy Minister, you'll allow them just to mention their names or if you'll refer to them. And also the parliamentary liaison officer, Ms. Naidu, who is with us here today. And I just hope the Free Staters in particular are taking this seriously. You know why I say the Free Staters? I'll tell you why. You know, at one stage when they were thinking of making the having the Union of South Africa, they said, let's choose a central point. And believe it or not, it was Paris, which I believe is in the Free State. Sometimes I know when I was a child and went to the post office and asked to send something to Paris, they said, Paris, no. I said, no, not Paris, Paris. But of course, Paris is named after Paris, as we all know. So it has that claim to fame. but the other important part about the Free State, and I really mean it, is that some of the most well-known woman pioneers from every grouping can be found as having been born in the Free State, as well as men who have contributed to our country today from every walk of life, and I mean that most sincerely. So we hope that the Free State will give a warm welcome to Sawin and not close their kraals and their farms to this movement. All right. Thank you. Over back to yourself, DDG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much, PM. Honourable members, good morning. Chair, we also have with us here the colleagues from the IDC. Yes, the IDC is managing this event on our behalf. So I have with me here Meryl and Billy.
Where are they?
Oh, the IDC, yes, the two colleagues here. Yes, but they are here on the ICV and the Women's Fund issues. Yeah. No, thanks very much, honorable members. Ruth will be taking us through the Sawen presentation, the acting CEO. But as you all know, that you know, in South Africa, if you look at the small business sector, 58% of the small business sector is owned by women. But if you look at the access to financial and non-financial services, you'll find that women, only 43% of those women who are owning businesses have access to financial services, for instance. And a lot of the ones that are non-banked, they rely on the so-called non-bank financial services, stock fails, borrowing money from the relatives to start business and all those things. So as a department, then we decided that, like the DM was saying, we have to have dedicated programs that provide financial and non-financial support to women enterprises. So really the start, like DM is saying, we don't have a big budget for such important programs. It's a start. This year we have about 8 million, 7.9 to be exact, you know, for the Sawen program. But if you look at the work the Sawen program has to go through throughout the financial year, it's a lot. So we hope that when we do our the budget adjustments, we will rely on your support, Chair, and the honorable members, you know, to increase the budget of, you know, programs like Sawen and the Women Empowerment Fund. I'll just give Ruth the chance now to go through this class, and then we will take the questions. And after that, I'll do the Women Empowerment, Isiva, the Women Fund presentation first.
Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members of the committee, honourable Deputy Minister, the DDG, and all protocol observed. Thank you for the opportunity for presenting Sawen. And on my right, I have the Chairperson of the Board, Ms. Gail Downing, who is here as well. South African Women's Entrepreneurs Network. Who is Sawen? And as I said, we are the South African Women Entrepreneurs Network, which is an initiative of the DTI. Sawen was launched in 2002 after extensive consultations throughout the country. And it was only registered as a Section 21 company in 2004. The patron of Sawen is the Honorable Deputy Minister Tabete, and Sawen has a board of directors. It is membership-based, and we have offices in three provinces, and we have nine chapters, which are led by provincial executive committees. And why was Sawen established? One of the aspects was the Beijing Action Plan. As you know, in 1995, there was this big conference, and there were resolutions that were made there, and South Africa subscribed to two of those resolutions, one of them being women economic empowerment, and the second one, advocacy and lobbying. The second reason was that the status quo, as the DG has indicated, in South Africa, informed by several researches that were done, where the challenges were unearthed in terms of what the women entrepreneurs were experiencing. And if we just capture them succinctly, it was found that women entrepreneurs have they are facing problems just because they are women. But in terms of the enterprises they run, they are confined to the smaller sized enterprises. I think the DDG said 58% of women of enterprises are women, but we see a lot of those enterprises being at the very, very rudimentary level. And then there were general challenges in terms of legislation, technology, skills in general. Hence, the need for a targeted intervention. In terms of the mission and vision of SAWEN, this comes from the Constitution. SAWEN will represent and articulate the aspiration of all women entrepreneurs, existing and potential, that operate within the South African SME sector. And the mission is that how SAWEN will do that, it will facilitate and monitor the socio-economic advancement of women entrepreneurs and their positive impact on the country's economy. Now, in terms of objectives, I'll just have to state them as they are, because they are in the Constitution. Why, what SAWEN should be focusing on: to provide a national vehicle that brings individual women and women's groups together to address the challenges faced by women entrepreneurs, to lobby government, public and private institutions on such issues, but not limited to policy legislation. But it's also issues that directly or indirectly impede the activities of women entrepreneurs. And then the third objective is aligning SAWEN with other bodies or organizations with similar business interests, nationally and internationally, so as to leverage out of those relationships for the benefit of the members. The fourth objective is to facilitate access to business resources, information and opportunities for South African women entrepreneurs. And the last one is to profiling and affirming women in business leadership positions. Now, who is the target market of SAWEN? We look at women who own and operate SMMEs, but it has to be, it's quite broad because we also include cooperatives, all kinds of enterprises with different legal entities. Self-employed and formalized, we also look at women who engage in income-generating activities but are not formalized, and we hope when they get the necessary support, they will become into the mainstream. And then women who have an interest in operating businesses but lack the know-how, and those we call aspiring business women. In terms of the strategic functions, when we translate the five objectives I talked about previously, if we just look at the keywords, the first one is unlocking business resources, facilitating members' access to those resources, monitoring the landscape in terms of what is happening on issues relating to women entrepreneurship, and then engaging in lobbying and advocacy arising from that monitoring. We need to see what issues need to be lobbied and advocated on, and then lifting the profile of SAWEN and its members, because, like I said, it's a membership organization. And if we look at the diagram, a map, an easy thing is to say that SAWEN is what it should be doing: facilitating access to resources, unlocking resources, monitoring lobbying advocacy, growing membership, and having a raised profile in terms of SAWEN and its members. Now, in terms of the five objectives, translating them further, we have come up with catchy program names so that we are able to succinctly indicate where we need assistance. The first one is PAGAMA, meaning that elevation of SAWEN, And as you remember, we were saying that SAWEN must be a national vehicle for networking. But currently, we are a virtual networking organization because we only have 3 offices. And that networking opportunity ensures that we cover women entrepreneurs throughout South Africa. Farisanani, achieving through others, meaning when we unlock the resources that are available all over the South Africa, we make sure that we connect our members to those opportunities, which we say are a minyetla. And then ukuzabalaza, the advocacy and lobbying. We said SAWEN should play a meaningful role in monitoring what is happening in terms of women entrepreneurship. But as the Deputy Minister stated, and the DDG, that the resources allocated to SAWEN are not adequate, and some of the things will not be done properly, which is one of those aspects that we think we should be improving on. And Zabalaza is about shifting mindsets, identifying what is happening, if the women are entrepreneurs are disadvantaged in any ways, informing and educating the members in parliament to change some of the policies and regulations, and getting those changes effected. And then Halala, it's the 5th objective of lifting the profile of SAWEN as well as of its members. And with this 5th objective, I'm proud to announce that we will be having the first SAWEN Award called Ligugulami, where we have been able to raise funding with a total of 1 million rand, which we will be awarding to 30 women entrepreneurs in different categories. And why are we saying Ligugulami? We want to affirm and recognize the women in the little corners in their enterprises to say, a job well done, keep on doing what you are doing, but we want you to graduate to bigger things. Our membership currently is at 1,001, and we are proud about this achievement because we started from scratch last year, and I think next year we should be at 3,000 level. Gauteng, of course, is number one there. The next is Limpopo, which is very surprising because there are no offices in Limpopo. So the women of Limpopo are very entrepreneurial. KZN, number 3, and Western Cape, number 4. Northern Cape doesn't have offices, but they are moving right along. And Mpumalanga as well. The last province there, of course, is the Eastern Cape, which we want to pay a lot of, we want to pay a lot more close attention to in the future. In terms of what we have achieved to date, as you know, we are a networking and organization. April to March 12, 105 events throughout the country, and 4,700 delegates, workshops and courses that we have facilitated, 42, with 2,864 delegates, facilitating access to markets through trade fairs and exhibitions. We've done 18 of those events and 96 delegates. We have participated in trade missions and ITIs, 6 of them, 24 members. It's something we are going to be focusing a lot on. And then advocacy and lobbying, as you can see, I said that we are very weak in that part because we need to have a fully fledged research department to be able to do the work and checking the landscape. But here, with this one that we are talking about, there is a lady in Hopani, Northwest, 10 kilometers from Lubazi border, She's operating a small manufacturing company there. And in 2009, she had problems with Eskom, where they were cutting off her electricity for no reason and reducing voltage, which meant that the machinery was blown, and she was left as is, with no assistance whatever. And she had to shut down for a while. But last year, we took up a case and assisted her in terms of engaging with Eskom, but also assisting to secure bridging finance for her so that she could fix the machines and get started again. And we are proud to say that it's been a long journey. It's still happening, but things are much better now. She's back in operation. In total, there are five of them, including her. So five women who are employed. And we are proud of that fact that we have been able to assist in that regard. In terms of April, the first quarter of 12-13, we've had 44 networking and events, 644 delegates. We've conducted 15 workshops and courses, 248 delegates, and members have attended 2 trade fairs and exhibitions, 10 delegates, and 1 trade mission, and 6 delegates who have gone there. So I won't go into the workshops, it's just for information purposes. In terms of where the women have been, through the assistance of Deputy Minister Tabete and the DDG's office, and TISA and EMEA, our members have participated in the IITF in New Delhi. They've been to Cameroon International Trade Fairs, Zimbabwe International Trade Fairs, Electrama Expo, China, the trade missions and ITIs. They've been to India, Brazil, Zimbabwe, and DRC. So we want to focus more sharply on that. But the challenges we have met is that the women have compliance issues in terms of tax clearance certificates and minor things. So we'll be looking at assisting them greatly in that regard. In terms of future prospects for SAWEN, we are going to be looking at program strengthening and having a strategic outlook. And we have to expand to the 6 other provinces because we are a national network, and we need to deepen our outreach, as I said, to people in the rural and far-flung areas of the country. We need to institutionalize some of our practices because what we do on a daily basis, women have problems, and they come in crying sometimes, and we deal with the situations and assist them. But because we don't have funds to really get those types of advice desks and clinics established, we do them on the side, and those go unrecorded in most cases. And we should also be developing monitoring publications, as I said. The mandate of SAWEN is to monitor. You know, we need to monitor the landscape and make sure that women entrepreneurs are not disadvantaged in any way. And we need to develop SAWEN into a powerful, efficient, and effective collective voice for women entrepreneurs. But what are the implications there? We need additional funding. We need additional staff capacity. In terms of the management of SAWEN, because SAWEN is not an agency, we are a Section 21, from 2004 up to March 2012, Kula was contracted to manage SAWEN in terms of funds on behalf of the DTI. This agreement was extended up to August, but now that CEDA has agreed to take over the function, this will happen mid-August up to 2015. Kula, as you know, is now a merged entity called CEFA, which includes IBC, part of IBC, and SAMAF. Risks and assumptions, as we said, that if we continue with the funding that is allocated, The hands are tied, there is not much that can be done, and the need is great out there. And Sawan does not have a permanent CEO. I'm currently seconded from Kula. In terms of the new agency arrangement with CEDA, Sawan needs to upscale its operations in terms of having its own back office function, because Kula used to assist in that regard. In terms of the budget, we have, as the DDG indicated, 7.9 million and 5.6 of that is program associated with admin of 2.2, which is a split of 75-25. As I said, there are no offices in other provinces, but we try to split the budget as equitably as possible. National office, with that anomaly of 2.3 million, please note that the six other provinces are being coordinated from there, the work of the six other provinces. In terms of the assumptions, there are agency fees that are charged to national office. National office carries all that. CEDA will be charging a management fee of 5%. Kula used to charge 10% on the allocation. And we won't be buying any CAPEX. We also have split some of the costs to provinces because some of the provinces do not have infrastructure. And as I said, provincial functions are program costs. And here we need to convert three temporary positions to permanent because, as I said, Sawan is in dire straits of capacity. Program budget, we are including the national AGM, TWIP conference and awards, Ligugulami awards in October this year. We've already done the PEC induction training for our newly elected provincial committees. There is cost of running the provinces, including salaries, rental, and overheads. And admin budget includes management fees, as I stated, staff costs, office rentals, consulting and admin, general office overheads. And what we are saying is that we need to be assisted with an additional budget to establish two additional provincial offices, employ a permanent CEO, provide additional office support in terms of research and development, and a finance department, as I indicated that the CEDA arrangement requires us to do our own back office of function. And here we are looking at an additional 5 million, and 4.3 of that will be program, and 7 the rest admin budget. And the other stuff is just detail in terms of what those will be. Mm-hmm. And in conclusion, Sawan is alive and back in action. And this year is the 10th celebration of Sawan's existence. And Sawan is a trusted brand that has potential to go higher, but we need assistance in terms of additional funding. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting CEO. That was really, for us, I think, a very clear presentation and bringing us up to date. And for this committee, it's, I think, the first time that someone has really had the opportunity of sharing with us exactly what you're doing. But let me hand over at this point to the committee and just see whether we have any questions, comments, clarifications. Let's look at the committee, please. Honourable Mabasa, Salal, Gil Lewis, Honourable Mabasa, Honourable McIntosh, Honourable Khadebe. Now, I know it may seem like a formidable list, but we'll go quite slow, and I'm sure you'll capture the essence. Right, straight over to you, Honourable Mabasa.
Thank you very much, Colleague Chair. Deputy Minister, DDG, the leadership of Sawan. I appreciate the fact that we have the institution Sawin. But for one reason or another, I tend to think maybe it is because I'm listening to the reports. I tend to think that it still has a long way to go in terms of converting its ambitions into reality. So that I'm noting that gap, but maybe someone will convince me that I'm inappropriately noting that gap. So that when we look at the plans of Sawin, which are so wonderful and ambitious, versus the budget, then something tells me that it's not really going to happen. So that's one comment. But then the other comment is, traditionally, in most, especially our forebears, our parents used to use the concept of litrima, ilima. I don't know to what degree is Sawin utilizing that concept. And then the last point is, cooperatives were just mentioned as a by the way at the beginning, and I'm not sure if I've come across them written somewhere here. Is that an indication that they are least appreciated by Sawin? Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Salah.
Thanks, Chairperson. As my colleague, we appreciate the initiative. But it is a bit worrying that this initiative was started 10 years ago. And we're still talking now the kind of language we are talking, that it is unable to fulfill its vision and mission because we are not funding it. It's a bit disturbing, Chairperson. On page 2 of this presentation, the upper slides, I think the pages are named, the slides are not named. I wouldn't be able to say slide number what, but that's who is Sawin. That's the page the slide that deals with who is Sawin. It refers to when it was launched, registered as a Section 21 companies, with the Deputy Minister as the patron, and has a board of directors and some membership-based organization. But it further also says that it has offices in 3 provinces. Is it possible for us to know which provinces are those, where we have offices of Sawin? And coming to page 3, the upper slide also that deals with the vision and mission. In your opening, you raised sharply, and I think the Deputy Minister also raised sharply, as well as the DDG, the question that Sawin is handling the small part of business. It was like you saying it is relegated to that. But when I read your vision and mission here, it looks like this is a deliberate intention of Sawin to move it, to that particular direction at first, maybe to expand at a later stage to other areas, because your vision looks here at women entrepreneurs that operate within the South African SMME sector. It is your vision. That's your target, because you also go further on the following page where you're talking about the target market, that you want women who own and operate SMME, self-employed and formalized. And then also those that are not formalized and those that lack the know-how. But it looks like your target area is that area deliberately, not really pushed towards it. That's what you target to do for now. Just to look at a clearer understanding on those particular areas. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Hill Lewis.
Chair, my questions are two quick finance questions. Firstly, you've got a slide here talking about additional provincial expenditure at 1.26 million. Is that per province or is that all nine provinces? That's a quick one. And then the other one, Chair, is slightly more fundamental in that in the breakdown of your expenditure, your current expenditure of 7.9 million, you're spending 2.3 of that on administration. What's that? Oh, yes, I see. The slide which gives you a breakdown of your expenditure, your current expenditure of 7.9 million, says that you're spending 2.3 of that on administration, which means that roughly you're spending one in every three rand on administration. Now, when you see it in a nice little pie chart like that, it doesn't look too bad. But frankly, I'm concerned that, you know, to spend 2.3 million rand just to spend your budget of 7.9 million, which is not an enormous budget, seems actually quite high to me. And I wonder whether it's not possible for us to look at ways to bring down the administration budget so that we can spend more on your core function, which is empowering women entrepreneurs. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hill Lewis. Did we have after that Honourable McIntosh, was it? Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the delightful contradictions of South African life is that everybody on this side of the room and who's very interested in SAWIN are all male. But well, our women are here on merit, so that's why we're here.
Made yourself wide open to a political hang and drawn and caught.
Well, we haven't finished yet, Madam Chair. I like this lady, I think. In fact, I think she could be Likukulami, Mrs. Nana Ditodi. Who has been kind enough to give R1 million. But what I find interesting is that in Limpopo, the women are being very successful. They're entrepreneurs. They're pushing themselves. They're individuals. In fact, all over Africa. Women are at the forefront of entrepreneurial ability. Now, I think it's legitimate, absolutely, for us to have an organization which can smooth the way, for example, the lady near Lobatse who was having problems, and to assist women in that respect. But my concern is that the department, and I must also compliment DTI on as it were, subcontracting this to the IDC and to Kula, and Mrs. Masokwane, who has given us a very good presentation, may I add, as a cooler person, I think is doing a great job. But I think, purely from a DTI perspective, I think one must be very careful of just doing something because you think it may be politically correct. I think we want to do something which is going to produce results. And clearly, Asawen has been struggling. And they're quite open about it. I mean, the last 2 years, we have been struggling. And I think the Ligukulani, which I would translate as my dear sweetheart or my business darling, is a very constructive thing because it's motivational. It moves people forward. So I want to commend that, and particularly Ms. Nana Ditodi, who's obviously a successful entrepreneur and has made a very constructive process. But Madam Chair, maybe Ms. Ruth Masukwane could explain to us. Every year, ShopRite Checkers have look, I just see it in the press, Madam Chair, and they have a big award for women who are successful. And they seem to find women in all kinds of parts of South Africa. Now, does Sawin cooperate with ShopRite on this, or propose names rather like you have for the Igugulami award? Thank you.
We'll all be coming back on this, Honourable McIntosh, and I envy you your knowledge of the indigenous languages. But perhaps sometimes the interpretation, I believe, may be very creative. But Honourable Hudebe? Wabasa?
No, Chair, I was saying to the whip here, he will speak last because he's the whip, so that if I fumble, he can, correct. Chair, I would like to appreciate the presentation. The first area that I'd like to look into is a question as to what extent has Sawen been able to address the challenges that women face, especially young women who are asked to produce marriage certificates before they can be funded. And linked to that, produce guarantor like a life insurance policy before they can be funded. That happens with the commercial banks. I'm not sure whether the non-commercial, particularly development finance institutions, also cause that kind of challenge to women. I know that Itala has been doing that, and I particularly mention Itala because I raised that issue in one forum in Durban. 5 years back, and I'm not so certain that has been addressed. That's the first one. The second area, Chairperson, if you look at page 6, the number of active women does look rather thin. I'm not sure whether I'm reading it correctly. You know, there are so many thousands and millions of women who can really benefit from Sawen's activities, and you're 10 years old already. Certainly, there are challenges that you are facing, and that's why you're not growing as large as you would and as fast as you would want to. What would be your challenges relating to increasing the number of active women? The last area, Chairperson, that I'd like to have addressed. It seems to me that up to now you are very much concentrating on the services activities. You are not in a significant manner moving towards agriculture, particularly for rural women and young women in particular. and into manufacturing. I saw some of the things manufactured outside, but one doesn't get the sense that you are getting wide into those activities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Very much, Honourable Kwabasa. I did recognise you, Honourable Kwong, and I'm just thinking it may be a good idea to take the point that Honourable Kwabasa just made, that we let the whip speak last, if you don't mind. Honourable Kwong? Now, Kwong, my apologies to you. Gosh, it's almost as bad as saying my first name.
No problem. Thank you, Jay. Thank you. I appreciate the vision and the goal of this organization, but it just seems very alarming, as the previous member just said. For basically, if I take a look at it, I would say it as a company, a non-profit organization. For the company to spend 7.9 million rand and have active members of 1,100 over a 10-year period seems very alarming to me. If you could explain further for that. If it feels as if the funding is not being utilized to its maximum capacity, basically. If I take a look at other, if I compare it with different organizations, normally you would be able to get over 1,100 members within 1 year, not over a 10-year period. Assuming to have, in my view is that if you have a program that is functional and actually productive to the community, more and more active people will join up by themselves and be willing to. Over here I can see you've got April, you've got the network conferences, the workshops, trade fairs, exhibitions, trade missions. For all of these, I would assume if you would focus more on workshops, more people will actually come to help women actually benefit from skills, to actually go and see what skills do they need, what are they lacking in their business. Maybe it's financial skills or administrative skills, or in general, basic business practices like business letter writing, how do you speak. There's a lot of these functions where they would actually need to know basic skills. If they needed to find certain resources, who can they call, how to actually get discounts on, pulling a few ladies together and actually purchasing. Are these being taught to them, and what is the productivity of it? I've seen a lot of LED programs that people want to go and join by themselves, and they rush to it. Some of the LED programs, there's an oversubscription for already a year. So for these active members currently, and the workshops, and comparing it to the budget, it seems to me as though the budget is not used to its full utilization, and a lot of active work needs to be done on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Huang. Honourable Khadebe?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll also concur with my colleagues who appreciated the presentation, because sometimes you might be living in your own world, whereas the reality is different. For example, when I look at the membership share, it's also disturbing, but the question you should ask, how does a person become active in this? How is the person recruited into SAWEN? Because really, when I look at the precinct 42, I know that there are a lot of women business entrepreneurs in that province. And then if you want them, really you can, I know that you can call them. What's the day today? It's Friday. It's Thursday. If you want them tomorrow by afternoon at 2, at least I know in the Free State you could put our 2,000 women there if you wanted to access them. The issue here is that how does a person become active?
how is the recruitment, what is the recruitment procedure? Because it's a membership-based type of the of the movement. And then number two, Chairperson, is the issue of the challenges. Is that number two? Really, I always prided myself in this parliament that this parliament is one of the parliaments which is gender sensitive to what happened. So I'm really still disturbed that there's still legislation and regulations which become a challenge to women. Because when we speak about the provincial procurement policy, the broad-based black economic empowerment, the element of empowerment of women is integrated to that. Isn't it? So if at 2012, we still have those challenges, if I can get that succinctly, what is that? So that as this committee, we can help, because I think that the issue of legislation is our preserve or our mandate, so that we can fix it as of yesterday. Because as the late president of the ANC, Oliver Tambo, in 1981, he said, unless the women of South Africa are free, South Africa will never be free. So if the women are poor, South Africa will never be empowered. So I think that one is critical. If we can get that, I'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Khadebe. Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, let me allow the team here on your side, Sawin, to respond to some of the questions. They're very searching ones, and I think it really expresses an interest, a really deep interest in all your activities. But possibly questions are raised about how better it can do it, or just clarity on the manner in which the budget has been allocated to serve the purpose. I am correct to understand that the committee in general has no problem about the purpose per se, am I correct? But we're trying to see how this purpose is being served. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, can I just say that even though Sawin's been in existence for 10 years, it's gone through a lot of history. So when you're looking at the presentation and the 1,000 members, we relaunched Sawin in 2011. Previously, the 2 years before, Sawin became a program, a project of the DTI. So the DTI, I've been involved since the initiation of Sawin. So the problem with Sawin is it was in the DTI, in the gender unit. And then 8 years ago, it changed and then became a project of the DTI. So really, if we're looking at the figures now, we relaunched with an independent acting CEO. Previously, the CEO was the head of the gender unit. So the person was having two hats, acting CEO as well as the gender unit. But now it's a completely outside the DTI. So that is what's happened. So even though Sawin's been going for 10 years, it's only the last year that we've now had to relaunch, because the last previous 2 years, there was no membership. It was then different. I hope I've explained myself.
Sorry, Jay. Can I just ask, from last year to... Sorry, Jay. Can I just ask a quick question?
Our practice, Honourable Huang, even when there are... there are some flaws and hiccups, as it were, in the response. Let's get the broad response, because I can tell you now I've already got a question arising. But let's get it. Keep that, and you'll do the follow-up first.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The comment about Sawin still having a long way in converting aspirations to reality. I don't think that's the case. The issue is that Sawin has made quite an impact on the members it has had in the previous years. But as I indicated, that a lot of things were not documented, and we need to start doing that, correcting those things. The concept of Letsema, one of our objectives is to mobilize resources, and it can be from anywhere. And Sawin will not be able to do what it does if it doesn't operate in a Letsema system, because we need to leverage on external resources including that of for the DTI, to be able to do the work that we do. The comment about cooperatives not being the focus, as I indicated, that vision and mission, objectives and all that are in the constitution of SAWEN. So this was formulated long ago. As I said, there were two extensive workshops throughout the country in 2000 and 2001. And when the SAWEN was launched, it was to address the issues that the women said they wanted to address. So the vision, mission, and objectives are the institution are part of the constitution. What needs to happen is that amendments must be effected, so that there is dynamism in SAWEN, because things change, and some things have become obsolete in my opinion. But because we are in the process of repositioning ourselves, as the chairperson Gail said, that for a two-year period there was a hiatus in terms of SAWEN operations, where it was even forced to deregister. So we have since relaunched in March last year. A board of directors was appointed. We've gone through the process of strategic planning, going back around the country, informing past members and prospective members on what has happened to SAWEN and how it's coming back, because Deputy Minister affirmed and indicated that there is still a need for SAWEN, and the initial thoughts of 2000 and 2001 in those workshops, those were still relevant because the need was great out there. In terms of which provinces SAWEN is currently in, it's Gauteng, in Bramfontein, it's Pietermaritzburg, in KwaZulu-Natal, and Cape Town, here in the Western Cape. And the Gauteng provincial office is within the national office, so that we save on costs. As I said, there was a comment about being relegated to the SMME. As I said, those were the initial thoughts of the collective thoughts of the women around the country. Naturally, there are changes that need to be effected to ensure that SAWEN is relevant in terms of what the women currently need. The comment about Ligugu Lami, thank you, Honorable Member. As we indicate in the brochure, that Mrs. Nana Didoni, who is one of the initial SAWEN members with Gail, she and Gail and others have graduated to the big league, hence them giving back to other women so that they are able to uplift the women. ShopRite Checkers competitions, we are an information organization. Information that we come across, we forward to our members and they participate, and I'm told by Gail that some ladies have been participating in all those. So the legitimate concept, there is no way SAWEN can operate as an island. But here, let's look at the issue of the Department of Trade and Industry having made a conscious decision as a government department to have targeted interventions that are spearheaded by government. Why is membership low? I think we've answered that, because of the difficulties between 2009 and 10. There is no concentration on services, manufacturing, and there's concentration on services and no on manufacturing and agriculture. As indicated, we are a non-sectoral membership organization. We are a broad church, and We are in the part of the strategic processes we have thought about is to categorize properly the members we have so that we are able to assist them in the proper manner, in line with their needs. And here we are looking at a specific system. It's a customer relationship management system where we'll be able to know in detail what each member does. And let me indicate that a lot of our members have multiple businesses. They just don't operate one business. And that's part of the challenges we have had in terms of aligning their needs in with the interventions we have. We find that women indicate that they are into construction, catering, mining, and all those. So we have a problem because it's one member, and now we have to make sure that we cater to the primary focus of what the member is doing. And we are assisting them to start looking at being focused in their lines of businesses. What we have found is that when people start businesses, they do everything to survive. But at some point, they become proficient in what they love doing. And we are encouraging the members to be able to take the risk and look at one or two focus areas only, instead of shooting everything that is in the air and hoping that something will fall. In terms of why is Sawan not taking off, I don't know. It's a legacy issue, but as I indicated, there is a need that has to be attended to in a concerted manner. If Sawan continues to be relegated in terms of budget issues or you know, being assigned small budgets, we will not get the impact that we require. And as I said, the issue that we've recently sharpened our focus on is to be specialists in identifying opportunities and unlocking them and making sure that our members take those opportunities. That is the core function of Sawan. In terms of spending budget, we spend budget on a leveraging basis, meaning that what we don't have to pay for, we don't pay. If an organization says that we are going to train your members in this and that, but we require you to pay for the catering and the venue, we do that. If, for example, the Stellenbosch Agribiz training, Land Bank and NAMAC, the National Agricultural Marketing Council, they say, we want to train your members, but you have to pay for them to come to Stellenbosch. We do that. So that's why I'm saying that we need to, as the honorable member said, that the reality is a different thing. What we are dealing with is to make sure that things work and we have offices and women have a home to come to, because sometimes it's a lot on the softer things where you find that they didn't do the proper things and now they have to forfeit being paid because they didn't meet certain requirements, taking shortcuts. So we are doing a whole lot of things, hand-holding, that cannot be interpreted here in documents. Recruitment policy. I indicated that we have newly elected provincial executive committees. We took a conscious decision to strengthen those because they are the representatives on the ground. They can do a much better job of getting in touch with women in their specific locality. But there are costs attached to those. For example, we have to assist them with cell phone allowances so that they are able to send messages to people in their localities to get them together. So that is starting to take off, and we hope to see results. The other recruitment strategy is piggybacking on the DTIs, taking the people, the DTIs to the people. We have a platform where we are going around the country in very, very rural areas which are difficult to reach, but we are always there with the deputy minister and informing people, especially women, about Sawen. I think Gail will, you will talk about finance.
Honourable Hill Lewis, with regard to your question about the 1.26 million, this is to set up two additional provincial offices in Eastern Cape and Upper Malanga. With regard to your question about the 7.9 and the 2.3 admin, 1 in 3, unfortunately, if you go to page 12, you'll see it gives you a breakdown. We have to pay, the admin budget really hasn't been split. It shows you that we have to pay the 10% admin management fee to Kula, the staff costs, which carries all the salaries. Going forward, we're going to break down this staff cost and do a costing per program. So, for instance, the staff cost, it should really be allocated to the program costs. And then it covers the office rentals, the consulting and admin, and the general office overhead. But we haven't had a system before where we've been able to break down the staff costs, so we've just put them all together in one pool.
We'll come back to you in a minute, Honourable Hill Lewis. I think they're almost completing this first round before we have Honourable Wong first and so on and so forth. See ya. Okay. Right. Have you finished just for the moment so that we can get a clarification, follow-ups, just at the moment? I wasn't too sure. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, look, I think the thing is it's a conversational inquiry, so we'll be coming backwards and forwards. So I know that there were some hands up here for clarification. Okay. So we'll just move back. Honourable Wong, you'll do a follow-up. So we'll... Honourable Salah, so will Honourable Hill Lewis. Now, these are follow-ups to what has been asked before we enter the new bank. So, follow-up. Yes, I've noted three of them, but perhaps yours was also an omission there. Yes. Mm-hmm. Too sure if you were finished. There were two or three questions. One was certainly on the legislation, and I think a couple of the follow-ups will come. So if you could just endeavour to address those as well. If perhaps you didn't make a note of them, well, then there's no problem in asking. So let's just go to Honourable Huang first.
Thank you, Jo. Can you just clarify on, you said that the organisation has been running for 10 years, then you had to reopen the organisation, basically. So how many active members did you get from last year? And also, another thing is, I think if the active membership has increases by 5,000 or 10,000 per year, and there's a lot of things happening and a lot of benefit that actually does come through it, I can't speak for the whole committee, but I assume that the funding allocation will be much easier to get. I think with productivity shows there is a much stronger need, and then you can push it through. I think for now, it is, if I compare it to other programs, for eight million rand budget compared to what has been done here, it doesn't seem productive enough. In my eyes, I've seen quite a few LED programs that they've got budgets of 2 million rand, 1 million rand, where they've actually educated up to 500, 1,000 people at a time. So, and a lot of difference. If I just compare it, it seems like there is a lot of room for improvement. Thank you.
One, Honourable Salah.
Chair, just follow up on the issue of the head office. That you mentioned that the Gauteng provincial office is linked to the head office. Well, that says to us that the head office is in Gauteng. Where about in Gauteng? and then the other thing is, in terms of your presentation, was that the performance in terms of membership of Free State, Northwest and Eastern Cape is very low. What intentions do you have to improve those particular areas in line with the question as, or in line with the input that was put by our whip here, that the issue relating to recruitment methods or recruitment strategy that you use. That's it. The other question would have been on the issue of how do you relate to all these other organizations of women in business. Like you have mentioned about women in manufacturing, women in mining, women in agriculture, women in construction, women in catering, and so on and so forth and so forth. What is your relationship with those particular different organizations?
Members, what I do want us with the follow-ups is to pursue your follow-up that may have been overlooked, you see, before we come to the new questions. But let me, sometimes our enthusiasm does carry us forward. Honourable Hill-Lewis.
Thanks very much, Chair. If I could just get clarity on the answer that in the future staff costs are going to go into the program budget. I may have misunderstood you, but in my understanding, staff costs are always in the admin budget. And then if you could just note that the graph giving the split between admin and program is incorrect.
Correct, sorry, Honourable Hill-Lewis.
The graph giving the split between the admin and the program budget is incorrect. They're spending, page 10, they're spending quite a bit more than that on admin.
Thank you very much. There was just another follow-up. Was it yourself, Honourable Corbasso? Just a follow-up, apart from the fact that Honourable Hadebe's questions weren't answered on legislation. Fine.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm not following up. There is one question I didn't hear the answer to, the issue of the challenge women face on being requested to produce certain documents if for them to be valid.
You remember you referred to compliance, etc., and women face some of these challenges and you were trying to assist them in that regard. The question relates to that, all right? So if you could clarify that. Plus, are you quite well aware of what the question was from Honourable Khadebe on the legislation? Best to find out now so that we get a good, solid response. Okay. So we'll just get that response then before we generate further comments and questions. Is that all right with members? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, it's occasionally when the committee secretary recognises the uniform of a school, he alerts me. The other day he didn't. But I believe here we've got the Herschel Girls' School. Is that right? Right. Some of you have got more badges than the Speaker of Parliament. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question about assisting women with an example was made of marriage certificates for funding and insurance purposes. We haven't had requests in that regard, but the compliance we are talking about is to assist the women to take care of opportunities that we unlock for them. For example, in terms of going to international trade missions and ITIs or exhibitions, there are certain requirements that they must meet tax clearance certificates, export type of certificates. Those we get in touch with the relevant people to assist. A lot of the requests that we have seen of late is of women with CCs that have been deregistered being unaware. And you find that their bank accounts are frozen. So what we have is that we have contact persons at CIPC to assist them in sorting out the problems where they are able to pay off what is required and be able to be back classified as operational and be able to access their resources. In terms of referrals to funding institutions, what we normally do is to follow up and ensure that our members are getting the necessary attention in terms of requiring the finance they need. We do not influence in any way how the funding institutions make their decisions. All we do is to mediate and make sure that our members understand what the requirements are and assist them where possible to be able to meet those requirements. In terms of the challenges in legislation and all that, honorable member, I have indicated that there are policies and regulations, but we have not been able to monitor, for example, the triple PPF, which has a quota of women who must be given opportunity to transact. There is no there is no concerted effort to watch what is happening with procurement spend, for example, in government budgets. There has been issues of saying that we can't find the women, and we are saying that SAWEN must play a big role in making sure that the women are linked to those opportunities in a proper way. Hence, I indicated that if there is no research department within a research facility within SAWEN, there is no way that function can be met because it's very specialized. There needs to be people who are knowledgeable to be able to look at what is happening and inform on a report. It should be an annual report where there's a status report to say that the procurement spend has now increased from this to this, but we need to make sure that we rally around making sure that we correct the situation.
CEO, just make sure, you know, when you've got members of the public, they may not know what SAWEN is. For that matter, a few others. But let us be quite clear, this is South African, is it Women Entrepreneurs, you know, a network. And it's just by chance, of course, that a girls-only school is here. And you will be aspiring to be women, and some of you going into business, huh? Right. So it's very important that you are here today so you hear about emerging women entrepreneurs and the support that SAWEN may be giving them or is giving them. Right. Just back to yourself. All right, CEO?
Thank you, Chairperson. As to how we relate with other women organizations, the report that I got was that SAWEN is supposed to be the umbrella body of all women organizations. But it cannot do that when it's not properly geared up in terms of resources and proper functioning. I think there were undertakings or the gala, I'm not too sure. There was something launched a while ago which fell apart because I'm not too sure. I don't have the details. Gail will explain that. But as we said that
Sawan at some point was requested to deregister. And at that point in time, there were no members, paying members. Last year when we relaunched in March, we started from scratch to have paying members. So we think 1,100 at this point in time is could be better, but under the circumstances that you have to have a concerted marketing campaign to make people understand what South African Women Entrepreneurs is doing, you have to have concerted efforts. As I said, we piggyback on the DTI, taking the DTI campaign to the people, taking the DTI to the people campaign. But I'm saying also that we are now confident that with provincial executive committee members who are in their respective provinces, we are going to see a nice change, because provincial executive committees are five per province, and they should be able to be able to assist in marketing SAWEN possible. In terms of the national office, honourable member, the national office is in Bramfontein at Jorison Place. Yes, this is Bramfontein, Johannesburg, and part of the corner has been apportioned to the Gauteng provincial office, so that we don't have to secure space elsewhere for the Gauteng provincial office. The provincial office of KZN is a standalone, and the Western Cape provincial office is a standalone. But all other six provinces that do not have offices, their activities are coordinated from the national office. Thank you.
Do you deal with the legislation, or will someone else be dealing with that, Deputy Minister?
I just want to...
Okay,
yes.
DDG Zakoda.
Thank you. Yes, no thanks. In 2008, Cabinet approved the so-called 10 set-aside products. These are the products that the government procure more often than the rest. If you look at government procurement, there are these 10 products that really, we procure every time. And it's really a big business for SMMEs that government is trying to promote, to promote more access for the SMMEs. But within government, there was a challenge, because, as the honourable members will know, the Treasury is responsible for the PPPFA, which is the procurement legislation, that government procurement. Now, you find some of the people within the Treasury saying the so-called 10 set-asides are not constitutional. So it couldn't be implemented because there was that issue. When people say the 10 set aside are not constitutional because they will be discriminating against others. Whereas really, it's not so, because if you look at the Constitution says you can use the procurement muscle of government. The Constitution says you can use the procurement, muscle of government, to promote economic participation of the people who have been discriminated by the apartheid legislation. But and unfortunately, there have been that problem between the two departments. But I'm happy to say that because of the intervention of my office and the office of the DDG Treasurer, we are now discussing how we're going to implement this and how to monitor throughout government. Because really, you'll find that these products, they are still procured from big business, if you look at the procurement of government. So I think that's one issue. And if you look at the SMME sector, mainly it's women business that produces these products. Because here we are talking about clothing and textile. We are talking about you know, the computer consumables, we are talking about toilet paper and the like, stationery. And it's mainly in the area where you find a lot of women business. Okay. And then another cabinet directive was that on the day-to-day payment cycle. I mean, the president has been talking about this thing recently. You will find that even in government, let alone big business government, many departments of government, they don't comply to the so-called day-to-day requirement of cabinet. So it's a big issue. CEDA, we have a hotline in CEDA where we as a small business, you can phone if you don't get your money within 30 days from government departments. But there's still a challenge, more especially if you look at municipalities and the provinces. You know, there's no compliance to the so-called 30-day payment cycle that you need. So there's still a challenge there. But through the DG, we wrote to all the heads of departments, the provinces, to the heads of municipalities on this issue, because we are proposing that the 30-day payment must form part of the performance contract of the heads of departments, and even the DGs and the like. So I thought maybe I would just add on the legislation part there. DM, I don't know whether you want to say anything.
No, DG. That's just, he covered, I think, the question of the procurement story as to how is it, though on the 7th of December last year, there was this amended new one that was trying then to talk to the issues as raised before. But since then, there's this particular Department of Trade and Industry and the Treasury talking the constitutionality of isolating those only to small business. Hence, it will look like it is discriminating to other business people. That is what is on the table now that we are trying to do. If that can be agreed upon, it will create really a good opportunity for lots of small business in particular, and even for women-owned businesses then to make sure that they can be able to be assisted. But, Chair, talking to the question of the cooperatives, I think it was answered, but the member is talking. He's not going to hear the answer.
It always does annoy me when members ask questions and then they're not responding, listening to the response.
I was trying to talk to an issue on cooperatives. Ruth answered in terms of the Sawen Constitution then in 2002 as it was. To say who to target and all that. But Sawen membership is open to those women who aspire to open businesses and don't know how, the how part and all that, they are welcomed only for a year. And also cooperative members, they are allowed to join, they are members actually. In the trade fair that the acting CEO was talking about, it took a lot of women-owned co-ops to give them access to those markets, and most of them are getting orders, as the Honorable McIntosh is saying, some of them are successful. They are successful because some of them are members of Sawen and we're able to handhold them, assist them, then to reach that level. Then they are exporting now, which is meaning that they are also creating jobs. So they are not discriminated against, they are members. But we encourage them to be members, individuals, not to join as a co-op, because they'll be able then to gain much more if they are individually, if they come as individuals, then to come and join. And that is the whole process that we are going through. But I think part of the question was that the young women are asked the certificate and all that to go back to Kobas. That is a normal process for everyone who asks for incentives from government, that you must be able to have your registered company certificate. In some of it depends which one, you'll be required even to bring your bank statements or your audited bank statements. In some of the schemes, you have to share with the part of the divisions, like TO schemes. Some are 80-20, some are 90-10, meaning 80% comes from government, 20% is from you showing that particular commitment to the business because you want to expand. But those that are startups, some of them might experience, but we've got a good working relationship with the National Youth Development Agency. so far. We've created a very good working relationship. Young people are sent there, but some of them come and even come to DTI and get assisted in terms of the issues that they have to be assisted on. But most of the cooperatives that are youth or women-owned, we try to make sure that we assist them and they get in the assistance, because it's where they'll get the startup funds. Easier than going through the normal, because most of the incentives and grants, unfortunately, at the Department of Trade and Industry, you must have a certain period before you can. Like some of the BBSDP. BBSDP stands for Black Business Supplier Development Program. That's one program that is looking at the previously disadvantaged. It includes everyone, youth, women also included. But for you to associate, your business at least must have 1 year in existence. The biggest challenge is that who makes you to be 1 year in business? Because the need is in the informal sector, where people operate informally, but when they want to formalize, at times some of our incentives and grants are making it difficult. They create barriers for people then to access, which is what we are looking at the department level, to say we've got this good grant, but there should be a way of bridging between a person that wants to start a business, won't have the collateral at times, and then what you do, because this person is having a very good bankable business plan, but the person doesn't have a house or something that can attach if she doesn't pay the loan and all that. So those are the issues that we are looking at, but they affect more women, because as the DDG said, you find most of the business, they are running either informally or small business, because, I mean, some of the issues are the challenges of the past and the legacy issue. In South Africa, for you to open a business, you are supposed to get a permission from your husband or partner to sign for you documents. And that still exists even today in terms of you to become a board member or honorable member. I think you must try to amend that. No, currently, for a woman, if you want to be a board member in a company or director, you go and ask permission from her. That is still there outstanding, which I don't know why after 18 years we have such laws. But that is one that I think we must aggressively look at and deal with it. Because I thought starting here in 1994, we dealt with all those laws that were against the spirit of the Constitution, in particular discriminating against women, because you find a lot of legislation, it was even he and all that. Interpretation of he, men, whatever thing and all that, we put she, others, but that one is still outstanding. When you want to belong, if you want to be a director or whatever, you still have, there's a portion that says you must get a permission or consent from your husband first to sign. So really, there are those things that are still lying there that I'm sure they are not intentionally there, but, you know, it is these unforeseen type of things that you ignore and all that. But generally, then you find that women get it, it becomes more difficult for women then to be in the bigger leagues because of the past. Because women were expected, I'm sure, to do this traditional roles of not whatever, and that then has got a bearing in terms of many women are understanding the business world and be able, but after they become members of SAWEN, they are then introduced into the different programs we have, and they are able then to take part. And SAWEN's role, to me, the history starts from 2002, but I think we didn't tell the whole, I mean, over years what was happening and all that until 2011. When this is a real launch, and that was not said from the beginning. Surely taking 10 years and we'll come with a membership of 1,000, I would ask the same questions, like members. But we didn't give the whole brief history of SAWEN. The intention of a coming with SAWEN, it was quite a good one. But unfortunately, in our systems, you need a political champion. If you don't have a political champion, this thing collapses. The other one comes, they don't dilute it, and then you start all over again. That is the biggest problem that you must try to look at. That's why I'm saying, DDG, you need to institutionalize this thing. So it is not when is Deputy Minister Hendricks is there, things are happening. Deputy Minister Talete comes, things change. Deputy Minister Mlambo Ngcuka at the time came, then things change. Deputy Minister Mokoena comes, then change. It should be about what is this institution all about, what is it trying to do, and is it making a difference or not. The reality is that it is making a difference because it is not easy for businesswomen even today. We know we come from a past that was not allowing not only black people, but African women were much more oppressed in terms of dealing with these things. I mean, it's only in 1993 in South Africa that we allowed to open a higher purchase agreement if you were a woman. When we dealt with the interim constitution. But before that, you were supposed to do the same thing. If you want to open a company, if you want to open an account, you're going to have to kneel down before your husband and say, Mr. Lewis, please sign for me. And whatever. If Lewis does not sign for me, then I must go and get another person to act like my husband or my partner. So that it was in the law. It was entrenched in the law, in the constitution. It's only in 1993 that they said, no, that's so we are all equal now. But looking at those, the legacy and all it takes, it is quite tough, I think, for a lot of women that we can then hence to find them at the lower level of being formal sector of business, but given the support, they can flourish. Nana Ditori is one of those women that you say, she started very small, whatever, but through the assistance that she got, she's now today no longer counted as an SMME. She has made it now. She's part of the big leagues. I mean, for us, this is a good initiative. It just needs then to be institutionalized and then be able. But I think also, when we come back to present the strategic framework, it will give the whole detail. But I was just trying to clarify, in order people need to understand, we are talking only 2011 up to now, 1 year, not Sawen Tennis. It's unfortunate that all these things happened and changes and all those things. But we hope it will be able to get to gear and with the support of the DDG's division and the DG, of course, they are committed to this because it was started as a good initiative. It can work.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister Tebete. There are just two things, though, and I hope you will just bear with us. The one was something I just got on my cell here at the Durban Chamber of Commerce, started in 1856. So how many years ago now? Many years ago, and as at the 30th of June, it's got 2,600 odd members. Now, I also have the Western Cape, but I know they know what they've got. And it's not as good as that. So I think the point I'm making is that when you have networks and chambers of commerce, you are looking at a business, you know, that kind of thing, and you're not looking at, you know, just the individuals in that business only. I think that's what's important here. But that does not mean that the Sawen doesn't have a lot of work to do, and it has acknowledged that as well. But the other point is CIFA. You know, I hear Kula and CEDA, etc., and yet I'm also led to believe, but I do need to clarify this, that the small enterprise, is it finance, small enterprise finance agency, has taken over some of those financial arrangements and is placed in the kind of IDC arena. And maybe we all need clarification just on that. The other point was on your budgets and this sort of thing. I just wondered, it was quite a surprise to me. So often the Northern Cape is last in everything. You know, it's got the smallest population and this and that and the next thing. And yet I see here on your membership, it's actually got 105 active members, you know, and it's number 5 in this list of 9. And it may be useful and informative for us to know why this is the case, because everywhere else they've come, you know, been at the end of this food chain. You may not wish to answer now because there is a tea break coming up, but just after the tea break. The other point, compliance has been addressed. I think you've raised the issue of monitoring yourselves. And it seems that given that this
the organization sort of lapsed and had this difficulty and had to, as it were, almost re-register, certainly relaunch itself in a period of 10 years. Unless it institutionalizes some of these things, you may face the same thing, and you can only do that if you set up this monitoring union unit very fast. We've asked the CIFA issue. Then the other one, which I know Honourable Hill Lewis raised broadly on the budget and so on, and so did yourself, Honourable Huang, and I wondered, you know, you mentioned, well, we put the staff salaries and it's now should be here and there. I know the World Bank these days and a number of other NGOs and so on, and the, you know, Section 21s, they operate what is called project-based budgets. Now, if you operated a project-based budget, you wouldn't have this anomaly, I don't think. You know, that's part of the issue you're facing. The other thing is that it may have been useful, considering that you relaunched in one sense of the word, where you could have put the relaunching costs as a separate issue, you see, almost the start-up arrangements. And you may then have found that administration and what is it, actual project, etc., would have been more evenly split if you took out the start-up costs, you know, the relaunch costs, which for all I know could have been 2 million or 3 million. I don't know. Don't think anyone here knows how much it was. And the networking. On the one hand, I thought that networking would have been, if I can put it this way, more economic to run, you know, the very concept just networking. And on the other hand, I'm told it's a very expensive operation, and I haven't been told that here this morning, but at other institutions. I also looked at this pro rata fees that are being charged. That's why I asked about the CEDA and the KULA. You know, these are government agencies, and I would have thought that, you know, they get a fee of 5% and 10%, which does, is this, so there's no pro bono work here. There's no just take the costs. They're making a profit here, are they? I'd like to get that clear. Is this profit-based, this fee? Or, you know, what is it? Are we sort of, charging ourselves on the one hand, I don't know, just transferring cash between departments? And I'd like to know what the purpose is, because I know the same committee did take up the issue with IDC 3 years ago. This is not a profit-based company. It has a purpose to serve. So can we just get a clarity on those? And maybe, because I see members are getting very edgy now, could we just have a short tea break? Thanks.
One question. I wasn't sure if the Deputy Minister, and I think it's great, she's obviously going to be a great champion of the Sanwin, but this Isvande Women's Fund, are you going to come to that? Because that sounds great to me. Thank you.
It's coming after tea break. And don't come back in your dress.
I've got it.
Development funds, development IDC. Is this Billy Cobina or Lobina? I'm not sure if it's a C there. It's a C. Cobina. Senior Account Manager, Development Funds Department, IDC. Intombi Shangase, Director, Gender and Women's Empowerment. Sipho Zikoda, the DDG, of course, again. And here it's got broadening participation as your particular purpose in this area. I know you've got many little hats here, but that's the hat you're wearing at the moment, apart from your big hat. And then Ms. Poppy Kuyame, Director Public Entity Oversight. Where's Poppy, Ms. Kuyama? Oh, right at the back there. Now, you mustn't feel that now that you're doing the oversight, you have to sit at the back to get the overview. You know, you can come a bit closer. Right, okay. Members, there were some comments made before I left, just which I made as well, on the Sawin issue. But we do want to try and ensure, before some members leave, you know, members have other committees they're involved in, and some will be leaving us sharp at 12:30 that at 12, so there is a need for us to ensure that there is sufficient space for SE Funder to make their input here. So I'm just going to give Sawin, if they like, just 4 minutes for a closing statement, should they wish. If not, we'll move straight ahead. Yeah, so that, in a sense, it's only between the two of you to consult each other, and that is Ms. Downing and Ms. Masakwana. Do you want to make a closing statement before we move?
Thank you, Chairperson. The clarification with SIFA, as you rightly said, it's a merger between KULA, South African Microfinance, APEX, SAMAF, and part of the SME book of IBC. So Small Enterprise Finance Agency comprises of those three, and SEFA is a subsidiary of the IBC. So SEFA now reports to the Department of Economic Development. KULA came into the picture in terms of managing the funds of SAWEN in 2004, and this relationship is now coming to an end, as I indicated, that KULA is now part of SEFA. The performance of Northern Cape, why is it so good? As I indicated, Chairperson, that we have strengthened provincial executive committees, and we are starting to see the results. In terms of institutionalizing SAWEN, we agree, and we will try and make sure that we do what is necessary to be able to end the conundrum that SAWEN is in now. In terms of a project-based budget, we fully agree with that. And yes, Chairperson, networking costs are very expensive. And as you know, South Africa has more than 200 district municipalities, and we are not able to cover all those districts in terms of networking functions. And what we tend to do is to be urban biased. And for example, in KZN, we focus on Durban and Pietermaritzburg because it's easier to do. The correct thing to do is to touch on all the 11 district municipalities so that we get the women in those localities to network where they are instead of incurring costs or being marginalized as they currently are. Management fees, we concur, Chairperson, that it has to be pro bono. But what has happened over the years is that 10% of the allocation has been dedicated to management fees, which means that SAWEN has almost 1 million rand less to work with and expected to achieve the same results. We believe this should be a pro bono exercise, and I'm sure the costs can be absorbed. What is it? Absorbed by the agencies. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that completes the input. Am I correct, Ms. Darling, from SAWEN? And I know the minister did make an input on that. So I'm sure. Minister, Deputy Minister, you're ready to, as it were, introduce the ISI funder and tell us what it is about, politically speaking, and then the DG, I'm sure, will carry on, unless there was another way you were wanting to pursue it.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope we'll be able to do a lot in terms of the follow-ups on the SAWEN story and all that. But for ISI funder, I think, as I explained, we've got four initiatives that talk to women economic empowerment. And after looking at all these aspects, we then realized that women get much more difficulties and problems to get the funding from, and it takes long. It's a protracted exercise that you want to get a loan. By the time you get a loan, you even lost the business that you were supposed to have to borrow the loan for. Hence, then, we then agreed that let's have something that will talk to women, assisting women entrepreneurs much more quicker, better, and but also taking all the necessary documents and the compliance that needs then to be done. After doing research, in fact, this came after a research shown that in all our incentives, grants, and all that, the uptake by women is very less, and most of them don't even know how and where and all that. And we said then we need them to have this dedicated fund. And because DTI itself, either gender unit or SAWEN, don't have the capacity, as we said here, don't have even, it's not an agency like your IDCs, and you see that have, you know, full complement. Then they could not then deal with the question of this particular ISI funder fund. We then requested IDC at the time to the CEO, Jeff Quinner, to really try and house this and make sure that they can assist us then as a start. We hope that this will build up. Again, itself, I mean, from the time that it was launched up to now, there were lots of part of the history that I mentioned in terms of changes, championing, and all those things. It came to a halt, and then it started, I think, now recently, after looking at the manager for a long time, the GDG, I'm sure, will be able to talk to us. But we battled, I think, for a long time before 2009 to get the manager of this fund and make sure that, but IDC, I must say that I take my head off for them, especially the team that is here. They've been working very hard to try and implement this. It is not an easy subject to deal with, but they've tried their level best. So I think they'll then give the DJ, I'm sure he'll say a few words. And I think also this has got a history, but we don't have the whole history here of explaining from when it was conceptualized, established, launched, and relaunched, and all those things. So over to the DJ. Have that broader understanding.
Yeah.
And deal with the funding. It's nearly like the Sawen story. Launch, but then on the way, you have to stop, cut, come back again, and all that.
Deputy Minister, I wonder, just for our benefit as a committee, who perhaps sometimes and regrettably may not always be on the same page as others who've been intimately involved in these processes, could you just briefly explain to us the relationship between SE Funder and SAWEN? We realize it's one, you know, but what is this relationship exactly?
As far as I can explain it quickly, SAWEN is SAWEN as an initiative. SE Funder is another initiative. As I indicated, we've got four. TWIP, SAWEN, SE Funder, Bavumile Institute, that is trying with the training on some of the end products and to make sure that the finishing of some of the products can really stand the test of time and the SABS type on all the products that we meant to, not only those that you see outside. These are only the three, two. There are women who are in agriculture, who are farmers. There are women who are in construction. There are women, in fact, it's all sorts of businesses that women are, but for the purpose of just the exhibition or just to show a little bit as to what they do, hence then we've got these Western Cape bays that are outside here, but it's much more than that. So that is the difference there. Because Bavumile deals with the training, largely. TWIP deals with acknowledging or recognizing that the technology and the innovation that women use in their businesses that then creates more jobs, and then we give them then prizes and all that. And then the SAWEN is the one that is dealing with the networking, organizing and all that. So these are the four different initiatives that are talking to clearly women. The boss, of course, who's dealing with the admin and the official is the DDG. Till now we are political principals, but he's the one DDG, Zikote, who has been part of that division, I think, from the time it was still, IDD? ED. At the time that was still ED, he was still there, while the DG was DDG, at the time he was there. So he's part of the furniture, actually. On many of the DTI restructuring, because this gender women unit started at the time that he was also there, when the DDG was the current DG, when they saw it after the Beijing platform and after the commitment by government to say we should be doing something on women economic empowerment. Then the unit was established. Then came these initiatives then that are talking clearly to targeting women and making sure that you make a difference. But he's the one who has seen it all, I think. You can say small business, you can say what, he has been there. Even for women, he has been there. Now he is the DDG, and he knows the whole story, and he has been part of the whole story in any way. DDG is what, and I hope he's not going to change. He'll be the same.
No, this thanks very much, DM, for those kind words. Chairperson, like the DM was saying, really, this initiative started because of the interaction between the office of the Deputy Minister and the office of the Deputy President. but then the issue was, how do we create a fund that would be sustainable over time? Because we had to create a fund, okay? So the idea was, the DTI itself cannot manage a loan funding, because for it to be sustainable, it has to be a loan funding so that those who could repay back the money, those repayments would make it sustainable. So we looked around, we decided that we're going to give it to the IDC to manage it for us because of the infrastructure they have, the IDCs in all the provinces now, the experience and all those things. Then IDC started managing it itself. But then there was a challenge within the IDC itself, because the IDC is really geared, you know, for yes, small business, but it's mainly for big industries and all that. So the criteria they use to assess the applications and the requirements were a bit stringent for this kind of a fund. So after a few months of the IDC managing this, we realized that a lot of applications were rejected. Why? Because of the system of the IDC. When an application comes, they take an application. If it's in chemicals, they give it to the chemicals business unit. And the chemicals business unit, they just apply their normal rules. Whereas this was a specific and special fund, which is a developmental one, for those women at the entry level. So they couldn't meet really all the criteria, the normal criteria IDC is using when they assess the applications for funding. Then we decided with the IDC that because of the IDC Act and the rules of the IDC, they couldn't reduce the requirements that they have to apply on this fund. So we decided that the IDC must employ a person who will be outside of the IDC structure to manage this. But the IDC will manage this person, you know, in terms of performance and the like. So then the IDC went through the process of hiring this person. They eventually find a fund manager who's well experienced. She has been part of government before. She knows the issues. So this fund manager, who is managed by the IDC, is now administering the program. But really the program, again I have to emphasize, is geared for small enterprises right at the entry level. We are targeting the rural areas and the peri-urban areas. But obviously, you know, the fund manager herself tended now to apply not as stringent, but stringent enough to reject even more applications. You know, that's what we have. Because I think the issue is, bona fide and everything, she's trying to make sure that the fund is sustainable. But that kicks out a lot of applications because really, remember, like I'm saying, it's for those people at the entry level. You know, the original criteria that we as a department put together for them was very simple. You just have to be a registered person, a taxpayer. You know, the very basics that you will need in any way to show that you are a company. We are a serious business. But obviously, if as a fund manager you want to make sure that the fund is sustainable, then you start bringing in very difficult, you know, criteria for people to manage. But again, the presentation is coming, but I just want to make to emphasize that we are working closely with the fund manager and the IDC, because what we are saying, the chair, is that the DTI every year will get the budget from the treasury to top up this fund. So a fund manager mustn't be worried about, no, you know, if I relax the rules, you know, I'll be getting all sorts of people and they won't be repaying the money and then this thing won't be sustainable. We are saying, no, don't worry about sustainability. Obviously, we are not saying that money must be thrown down the drain, it should be given to people who are really hopeless. No, we are not saying that. But what we are saying is that the criteria must be just enough, you know, to ensure that, yes, we get people who are serious about business, But on the sustainability part, every year we will be getting money from the treasury. That's our role, to get money from the treasury to top up the fund, because we know that there will be a lot of those many business who might fail or struggle to repay the loan, because it is a loan. Why? For the sake of sustainability, nothing else. But yes, I thought maybe I'll have to bring in this thing, because it is a challenge that we are facing, but I think we are working very closely with the IDC. Again, really, we have been doing a tremendous job. By the way, I just want to add, Chair and the Honourable Members, that the IDC, as you know, they are also managing the so-called SPI program, support program for the industrial innovation. And Meryl is the very same lady who's managing that program on our behalf. Her unit is managing that program. They are also managing the so-called risk capital facility, the money that we are given by South Africa was given by the European Union, you know, to support the small business. And Meryl, again, is the very same person. Her unit is managing that program. So we have decided that Meryl will go through the slides and then we'll take the questions afterwards. Thank you.
I think that's very important. If you could, while you're going through them, just give us the capitalization that was there to begin with. If what you say, you know, as I understand you, you're saying this is recapped, you're kept at that level, as it were, by government as and when, or annually, one of the two. So what was that, what is that level, and then if you can also deal with the presentation. Thank you very much, DDG Sikota. And then if we can go across, as you say, to Ms. Mamatuba.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the recapitalization, the initial capital for the fund was 50 million rands. When the fund was being managed by IDC, we managed to approve two transactions to the tune of 3 million rands in total. Obviously, the money, as it was sitting in IDC's bank account, it earned a bit of interest. And in subsequent years, there was more recapitalization from government. By the time we managed to procure a fund manager, the fund was sitting at about 65 million rand. We decided to take a very conservative approach because we were not sure how things were going to turn out with the fund manager. So in terms of our arrangements with the fund manager, the capital that she has committed to manage is 45 million rand. And depending on how she performs, we can recapitalize that fund. Alternatively, we could look for other fund managers that can take up a portion because for the remaining portion, because for us the most important thing is for the funds to go out to the market as opposed to who manages it. In terms of the fund objectives, in terms of the fund objectives, the idea is really to support women-owned businesses. And you would know that when the concept of black empowerment came through to South Africa, a lot of banks funded black-empowered, women-empowered businesses without necessarily empowering the owners. So in this case, we insisted that each and every business that we fund the person behind the business that we are supporting needs to be involved in the business so that we can ensure that we empower that specific person personally, and in this case being women. The other critical criteria for us is we all know that urban areas benefited a lot historically from an economic point of view. And what we are trying to do is to reach those areas that have not been benefited historically. And coincidentally, women that we are trying to target are in those areas, which are rural areas and peri-urban areas. The DDG spoke about the long-term sustainability of the fund. Long-term sustainability of the fund, of course, if you get reflows from the fund and you are able to fund more businesses going forward, as opposed to taking 50 million and you fund a number of businesses, that will probably not even be sustainable themselves. And the next thing, we look back and we wonder what development we've done. So sustainability of the fund really talks to us receiving enough, you know, some capital to be able to plow back into the community. And impliedly, if businesses are able to repay us, it means those businesses are sustainable, which means the approach is very much relevant to, you know, the idea of building sustainable a sustainable economy. The other critical aspect of the fund is business support. We are very clear that the transactions that we fund, we do not want people who can go to the banks and have access to funding from the banks to come to this fund. We want to fund those people that do not have the means to access funding from the banks and even IDC. So if you're looking at that type of a market, the risk is quite high. And for you to ensure sustainability of the fund and those businesses, you need technical support. So we've set aside some amount out of the fund capital to provide the business support needs of the clients that we're financing. And then in terms of what has the performance of the fund to date, I need to correct this. These are not funds disbursed to date. They are funds committed to date, which means funds approved to date. Some we still have to disburse, and some we've already started disbursing. And then also on fund allocation, you would notice that we've got buckets. And the reason for us to have those buckets is because we recognize that the need is in the informal sector, probably even the early stages of the formal sector. And these amounts try and talk to that, because 30,000 to 100,000, that's pretty much a very small business which is still struggling with governance practices and so on, and even the next level. But once you go to the other level, it's small businesses but probably a bit more matured. A business that needs 1 million to 2 million is a business which is relatively matured, although in most instances the banks will regard it as high risk. So one other thing that I need to mention is the fund period that we've agreed with the fund manager is 8 years in total. We've given them 4 years to approve the amount of 45 million, and the other 4 years we expect them to start collecting the money back from the market. If we look at the amount and we just spread it across 4 years, we tend to ask ourselves whether we are aggressive enough. But if you look at those buckets talk to
a number of transactions that we expect the fund manager to approve over the period of 4 years impliedly. And we don't expect the fund manager to approve less than 90 transactions over a period of 4 years. And for us, that's very important, because talking about the quantum is one thing, but reach is what we are after. So if this fund funds 90 transactions over a period of 4 years, for us, we would have achieved a better purpose than a fund being depleted over a period of 2 years but having funded only 20 transactions. So number of approvals is quite critical for us to monitor. In terms of where we are, if you look at the period of 4 years in relation to the fund amount, 45 million, you might think that we are actually on track. But I think we are lagging behind a little bit in terms of the number of approvals, because the first bucket, for instance, in order for us to hit that target of 90, we should have actually approved at least 7 transactions, and the next target, 7 transactions. So those are the things that we are working with the fund manager to improve going forward. You look at the provinces as well, because monitoring urban and peri-urban areas is one thing, but we need to look at the provinces as well. So this is another key performance area that we keep on monitoring to say, in terms of the spread, geographic spread of the transaction. The figures speak for themselves. Obviously, we need to do a lot more work in terms of reaching those provinces that have not previously benefited from the system. This is just a pie chart showing the performance in terms of the geography. And then this slide is quite important for us, because approving transactions is one thing, but at the end of the day, money needs to go out there to the clients. So we keep on monitoring this, and wherever there are challenges, we try and unlock them. As it stands today, we are below target, and we are working very closely with the fund manager to try and find out what the obstacles are so that we can be able to unlock them and release the money into the market, because unless the money is released to the market, there won't be development. In terms of the challenges, I've already spoken about the fund performing below expectations in terms of the number of transactions. We are working with the fund manager to ensure that our strategy, our marketing strategy, is enhanced to target to improve the pipeline, basically. Yes, there are high expectations, because the amount of development that we need to do there is enormous, and we keep on striving to meet those expectations. The current fund model is not suitable for IWF requirements. In this respect, typically, if you look at the transactions that we are targeting, we're targeting smaller transactions, which means the model that we should be using should be leaning more towards microfinancing. The fund manager that we have has traditionally done private equity type of transactions. It's been very difficult to get an appropriate microfinancier who can be able to take on a fund like this without charging us an enormous amount, and very little ends up not going into the hands of the intended people, but into the hands of the fund manager. So we had to balance all that. It's still a challenge, That's probably why the number of transactions is lagging behind. It's probably because of the model that they are using, which is more private equity. Seed capital, I think it speaks to business support in the form of grants. That is a subsidy as well, and we just need to make sure to reassess and make sure that are we really providing enough support to these entrepreneurs in order for them to succeed in their business. And also, there are those businesses, if you apply the pricing that we currently apply, which is not very expensive, it's a prime, but there are businesses that can struggle, can potentially struggle even with that pricing. So probably in order for us to reach out more people, we need to be reviewing the model and see if we cannot come up with a way to support those businesses that are viable, but the cash flows are not robust enough to support the repayment requirements. Most of these things are operational issues, and we are currently dealing with, we currently addressing them with the fund manager. The other issue, because of the private equity model that the fund manager has been applying, we've reached a decision that the investment committees need to be separated. There needs to be a separate investment committee for our specific fund and the investment committee for the rest of the funds that they manage, so that the stringent criteria that the DDG was talking about does not necessarily get applied to our funding. So those are some of the things that we've started doing in order to unlock the potential of the fund. Thank you.
Thank you for a really very concise overview of the ISI Funder Fund, and very succinct. It's given me certainly a very good idea of how it operates and the challenges that it is facing. But I know some of the members here were deeply interested in this fund for a number of reasons, I'm sure, for their constituents. Can we see by show of hands, I'll take three to begin with, get the responses, and then another three. Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Khadebe, Honourable Huang.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Thanks for the input that we have received. My question is, I have heard that you intend covering the whole of South Africa, especially the places that are always ignored. I mean, it could be the rural, it could be the informal settlements. But if we take a place, let me just be very direct. If we take a place like Orlando East, North Gauteng, Deep Kloof, do you have institutions there or entities there that you relate with? That's my question. Thanks, Corinne.
Thank you very much, Honourable Khadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think first of all we have to appreciate the input, the presentation, which is coming from the IDC and the department. But Chair, I'm a little bit worried here that seemingly we turn out to be too casual when we're dealing with things which are going to empower women. We're turning to be too casual when dealing with issues which are dealing with the empowerment of women. So I think that if that the fund manager is not suitable, why not try to have an in-house capacity? So that we've been it, because we're aspiring to create a developmental state. Why, if not, if we're not finding such a suitable person outside in the market, why not create capacity within the department itself? So that really we run with these things, because really, I think that this issue of ensuring that the women are going to be empowered is going to take us more than 100 years with the rate we're going. And then number two, Chairperson, when a person applies in this fund, what is the turnaround time will happen from the day they receive the application up to the day the fund is dispersed to a person? How long does it take? What about? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Huang.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I think at the moment I think this will help Salwans, actually, as one of the benefits. Salwans, I think this is one of the facilities that you could help with your members to actually say there is a fund and it is favourable. I just wanted to ask for the applications, you've got over here the number of approvals, which are very low, as you've already said that there are problems. But if I would assume if you are going to the lower markets, number one would be the 30,000 to 100,000. Those applications should be much higher and the approval rate much higher than the, call it 250 to 1 million band. So that's one. Second is, I'm assuming there should be a number of, basically I would like to know how many people actually go and ask for the fund. So is the marketing enough that people know about it, that there's a large amount of people actually applying for the fund, and then the number of approvals compared to the number of people applying for the fund. Also, as you mentioned for the interest rates, obviously this is for developments, it should be more favorable, even though the market will be very different because you're entering into a high risk area, but because it's for development, the interest rates should be more favorable for them, so that the startup businesses will be able to actually repay the funds to actually assess, and also to give them the opportunity to not have it at a set interest rate, for example, and have it flexible depending on their business, so it's catered to every individual business. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Wong. I have a few myself. The one which may have helped my own understanding a little bit more was, unfortunately mine aren't numbered because I've had them enlarged, but it was the funds dispersed to date and then the next followed by the geographical spread. Now, you know, without having my calculator present, difficult for me to see exactly of, for example, the number of approvals to date, one in the top there, 8 and 250, and then to try and get some understanding of how this related in actual number, not percentage, to the various provinces per se. So we get a little bit more specific in this. And then, you know, for example, the Eastern Cape often reminds me of the old cliché that, yes, of course we can talk about percentages and percentages and percentages in population, but there's no such thing as a half a person in reality. You know, little things like that. And then if we just move to the target performance, the targeted disbursements, clear, okay. But if we could just have, say, on the actual disbursements, you've actually, I think, tried to identify this in year one. And one must assume from what has been said here this morning that one of the challenges in the actual disbursements would appear to be the current model, you know, from what you have all been saying in this regard. But I cannot concur too strongly that if this current model is not working, you've taken a decision, it must be a fresh structure, you've taken this decision. But it sort of strikes me that what you've done in kitchen terms is to say, well, the floor's not getting much cleaner, let's just buy another mop, instead of actually looking at the actual problem itself,
which may mean retiling the kitchen, you know. And I'm actually saying, you know, retiling here would amount to rehiring. But I think, you know, the whole thing is this, sometimes people are square pegs in round holes. This is a reality. It's got nothing to do with whether they can do a job for which they are trained, but whether they can do the job for which they are in. Thank you. Honourable
McIntosh, yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm interested in the challenges because we've actually had, and I think the Deputy Minister is doing her best, but we've actually had two quite depressing presentations today. The first one, we're trying to resuscitate a near drowning woman on the beach, and we are now looking at a fund which is earning interest and not being spent. And I think your challenges are very clearly set out here. My concern, Madam Chair, is that in this country, we have a range of people providing financial services. At the lowest level, we have in our townships what we call mashonisa, people who lend money to people on the side. Then we've got the next stage up, which is all these microfinancing people. And we know there is a huge range of them. And, of course, now Capitec, Barclays, APSA, FNB are all getting onto what we now call unsecured lending. This, I think, is a very exciting fund. But I think the presenter has said the challenge is the fund manager. So you've got a private equity person whose background is big money into private equity. What one really wants to do is to say, maybe go to Capitec and say to them, look, wouldn't you guys take over managing this fund? It's a different fund. I mean, Capitec gives you, I don't know what, 10,000 or 30,000 unsecured lending. You don't know what it's going for. Whereas this fund says, no, it's got to be for an entrepreneurial purpose. And they've got to pay it back. But, you know, my concern, Madam Chair, is that, I know the IDC is a very conservative organisation, and rightly so. But I really think we've got skills in this country, from the Mashonisa right to Capitec and First National Bank, who can surely be drawn in, and they might even be prepared to manage the fund at a very reasonable rate as part of their social investment purpose. So I would just like to suggest that IDC considers doing that as well. Thank you, Madam.
Yes, you raised an important point on the unsecured lending side, which I hope we can deal with as a committee in August sometime. Right, over to the both the department, of course, and the Deputy Minister, Tibete. And of course, in particular, just so that I make sure I get these names right, and when one wants them, one doesn't seem to have them. But I just remember the one was Meryl, but actually, what is it? It's Miss Mamatuba. Thank you.
Thanks. Regarding the question relating to appropriate institutions to service the townships, being Meadowlands, Soweto area, as an example that was given. Housing is not so much of a problem currently, because that's where we are located. I think the challenge comes when we now start going out into other provinces where the fund manager does not have presence. And then in that case, they'll have to have very strong links
and relationships with institutions that have got presence. For instance, the IDC has presence in all the provinces. They can piggyback on the work that IDC is doing. CIFA is coming up, although it's at very initial stages, but hopefully it won't take long for them to establish themselves well enough to be able to service the target, their targeted market. In terms of the suitability of the fund manager, there was a question raised on whether we should not, if we can't find a suitable fund manager in the commercial market, whether it's not enough of a justification for RAS's government to establish our own appropriate institutions. I think that's a very good point. In my personal opinion, that's what needs to happen. Because I don't think the commercial market is ready to assist us in respect of the types of things that we want to do via this fund. With CIFA coming on board, we hope that the business that we were trying to push via this fund will be taken over by CIFA over time, because now they've changed the model as opposed to a guarantee model that they were using. They will be lending directly to the market, and their thresholds are very low enough to target the type of market that we are targeting via the fund. So we hope going forward we will be geared enough as government to service the sector. Turnaround times, I must admit I do not have a good sense in terms of like exact timelines, but what the sense that I'm getting is that considering the hand-holding that one has to do on these transactions, because a transaction comes, the business plan is not there in terms of it being taken forward. We have to apply pre-investment technical support in order for us to assist them to make their transactions bankable enough and handhold them through the approval process and then the implementation process. So the turnaround times might be a bit longer than what you see typically with commercial banks, because with commercial banks, you get ready transactions, very low risk transactions, and you just approve a fund, you just approve funding and everything is in place. With regard to the approval rates of smaller transactions, you are quite right. This slide speaks to exactly that. When we talk about 5%, we talk about 5% of the commitment amount, which is 45 million. But if you calculate how many transactions need to come out of this, the number is a lot higher than than other buckets. So yes, you're quite right. The fund seeks to target those smaller transactions, and the aim is to do a higher number of those smaller transactions. Leverage interest rates, a question was raised about whether we shouldn't consider re-looking at our interest rates to provide a leverage interest rate. It's a point that we are going to take away and re-look at it and see how best we could apply that. In terms of flexibility, that's what we always try and do with this fund. It's not a typical loan that you find from the bank. It's got elements of equity. So if the cash flows are not there for the client to repay, they will not be in default. The transaction will just be restructured to accommodate the challenges that they've got.
The approvals to date in relation to the provinces, yes, it's a point which has, I'm acknowledging it's very difficult on this slide to know what's happening. Unfortunately, I cannot be able to calculate it at this point in time, but we can pass on the information once we've done that. We've got the numbers. When it comes to the issue of the model and whether the fund manager is an appropriate entity to run this, I'm the first one to admit, as I've always said, that the model that is being used is leaning more towards private equity, and this type of fund needs somebody who is actually a microfinancier. When we went through a selection process, it took quite a lot of time, quite a bit of time for us to finally appoint a fund manager, and this was not like our desired outcome. We would have typically preferred a fund manager who can be able to handle volumes and with much quicker turnaround times, with systems to handle microfinancing type of transactions. But the institutions that we've spoken to were adopting a very commercial approach. And the commercial approach meant that more than half of the capital will be used to pay their management fees. And we had to make a decision as to whether that's worth it. And hence, we defaulted to this approach. I hope I've answered all the questions, Madam Chair.
Let me just look at members, although, Honourable Hill Lewis, if you just turn off that mic of yours for a minute. Right. It certainly sounded, I mean, you know, some of the questions were put together. I'm sure you saw that yourself, Honourable McIntosh, you know, the issue of the, but I think with the grouping, et cetera, that took place, the challenges you face have been recognised, but in fact, it is the support for you when you indicated restructuring and how you were going to do it to say, go ahead, do it. You know, because you're not getting anywhere fast this way. Go ahead and do it. The fund actually is serving a purpose, but well, we say serving, the intentions of the fund would serve a purpose. But the question we're all raising here is, which you seem to have agreed to, is with there are too many impediments on this disbursement, etc. And we're all agreeing on that. So I would really like to say, Honourable Deputy Minister, that it would be very constructive if Isifunde in particular could return to us, perhaps just to add on from your part what the status of SAWIN in 2 months. So that we get some idea, is there some progress being made, you know? So we're looking at August, September, we're looking at October, before we actually come to things such as the, you know, the final closing reports of finance and so on, the adjustments and that kind of thing, to have a clear idea and the medium-term expenditure policy review, where are we heading? Because more and more now, the budget is getting, you know, Parliament is beginning to play its full constitutional role more and more as the years go by, and I think this year we will be expected to begin really to make that impact. So we need to know where it is you're going, and are you going to, how quickly will you be able to begin this implementation, and so on. But on that particular note, I'm sure the committee would share with me the thanks to SAWIN and also the hopes for SAWIN that now that it's been relaunched and it seems to have a fresh sort of tank of oxygen in it to move ahead, that the
a lot of the points you have already stressed, the principles and the characteristics, that these practices are institutionalized and don't depend on personalities. And the second thing is that with ISI Funda, which in many ways is almost a back-to-back, if I can, you know, although we speak about the four pillars there, that there is a need to have this flow of financial blood going smoothly without any impediments whatsoever in its way. But, and I'm glad you stressed this yourself, in an accountable manner. We don't want to stop the disbursement. In fact, we want to free it up. But we want people, even at the lowest level of receipt, you know, of such transfers, to be able to account for the funds. That is very important. If we can breed this now in South Africa, nurture and grow it, because they say, the World Bank certainly says, and I say this repeatedly, that women, when it comes to women and you lend women money, internationally the trend is they use it more constructively. Now, it's not coming from me. It's coming from the World Bank. But if we start putting in place, I saw the two fingers there, if we start, you know, corroding this, and corruption starts with the corrosion of a lack of accountability. That's where it starts. Let us not entertain this or even create the ground where such seeds could be planted. Honorable Huang, just I hope it's a final note. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. I just forgot to mention earlier, there is a case in India where a microfinance company, what they did is they made an online application where you can, where people for small enterprises, similar to sponsor shops and very small, they can apply online. They put their details on the web. Then individual financiers go and choose, okay, I want to finance this business or this one or this one. So they choose it. The repayment rates, as I recall, was very high, and it's actually helped millions and millions of people. Maybe you can just take a look into that business model and see how it's actually worked, because it seems very successful, and bring it into this. Thank you.
Yes, well, you know, while I'd be the first to say internet is not as widely spread, on the other hand, the cell phone does seem to be, we seem to be leaps ahead of most countries when it does come to cell phone operations, etc. But perhaps the principles thereof can be looked at. And I'm sure the department and IDC and the ministry will take those points on board. But once again, particular to yourself, Deputy Minister, thank you for persuading Sarwin to come here and share with us just a taste of what they have and what and who they are. And I hope it won't be 4 years before, but as I said, it won't be. You are definitely coming back in two to 2.5 months to make sure that, well, we can see some sign of progress before we enter the next financial year. And I hope that would be suitable for yourselves at a date that we all agree on. Honourable Zikoda, DDG.
No, thanks very much, Chair. I just want to ensure the House that we are putting all sorts of pressures on the fund manager. If you look at our target for this year, the target that we put in our MTAF, it's 100 companies. By the end of this financial year, the fund manager must have approved and assessed, approved and 100 companies at least. So we are well aware of the small numbers that she has achieved at the moment, and I can tell you, I think the meeting is next week between us, the IBC, and the fund manager, because we're saying if she must identify the problems, whatever problems she's facing, she must tell us what's the problem. If she doesn't have enough capacity, let's talk about that, because we are prepared from our the funds that we have within the DTI to assist her if the issue is just the capacity to roll out the program. But we hope by October, like you are saying, we will come with the better news. Thank you.
Yes, no, we look forward to that engagement ourselves. So thank you to DTI and the Ministry and IDC and others who are here. I do just want the committee to stay on for 2 minutes. And, of course, I know that the Portfolio Committee Secretary would also like to engage with those who are going to Kenya. But let me say to those who are on their way